This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, Joe Pano, and Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Tyler, Joe, and Doug for another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am not Doug. No, Doug is not here. Doug is getting ready to go to Patriots camp with a buddy of his. And Doug, have fun. We wish you the best and we will see you and hear from you next week. But I am here with Mr. Pano No Gano. What's up, Joe?
What's up, man? I'm ready to rock and roll tonight, man. Excited.
Yeah, and here to rock and roll with us is the person who made that tasty intro, the Mike Wright, for his fifth time on the show.
Just means I've been on the show five times too many.
Very true.
But you haven't been on with me, you know. This is gonna be an exciting experience for me. So please, like, you know, let's do this.
It's gonna be an exciting experience for Mike.
Oh, well, you know, I like to downplay it, but yeah, like, let's do this. Let's do it.
Yeah, and what we got going on tonight is we are just gonna give you some camp news. We're gonna go through some Roto Baller news. You know, we're gonna go on the Sit or Start app and check out some news. And we're also going to go on the SleeperBot app. So we're going to check out some news there. But first, I want to take some time to talk about one of our sponsors at the moment. And that is the Fantasy Football's Ultimate Draft Kit.
Hey, what? Yeah.
What are the chances? Yeah. This is...
That's not why I'm here, folks. There's nothing to do with that.
Wait, you're the same guy. You're Mike Wright from the Fantasy Footballers.
Joe's going to clam up. Now.
Oh man, I didn't know this was happening, guys.
He just thought you were Mike Wright, not the Mike.
There's
Wright.
A lot of us, to be fair.
We'll get back to the Ultimate Draft Kit, which Mike has put so much time and effort. Jason and Andy as well. This thing is a full briefcase. Full of information. You guys all got your draft coming up. You guys need this. I rolled into it last year, my draft that is, and had this. And like I said last week, I went 6-0. Now I didn't really follow Jason's advice and hit the waiver wire, and that's what hurt
me. Oh man, you got cocky.
I know, I did. I got super cocky and
typical ginger.
It killed me. We take what we get. Cocky.
I didn't know this.
But yeah, it's got tons of stuff. It's got Matt Harmon's reception perception. And Mike, why don't you tell them from your voice everything that you think they could use for their draft?
So it's got our of course, the sleepers, the breakouts, the busts, the values. It's got all three of us did projections on every offensive player of note. And the best part about the Ultimate Draft Kit is it's not a magazine. It's updated. All the time, nearly daily. So you want to talk about the brand new starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, Jay Cutler? You're not finding that in a magazine, but the Ultimate Draft Kit's about to get a heap of updates tomorrow. So that's really the best part of the draft kit. It's all you need to dive in to research and be prepared, the best prepared you'll ever be for a fantasy football draft.
Yeah, you can get that draft kit for 10% off by using code DHH. Go on ultimatedraftkit.com. Use code DHH for 10% off right now. Do it.
one question, does it have, you know, a beard grooming kit in there? Because I've noticed that you guys have like these fantastic beards, and I kind of want to step my beard game up a little bit. Will it help me there?
Maybe next year I'll add like a secret tab of Mike's beard grooming tips.
Okay, perfect.
Because I've got a lot. I mean, Pandy, it looks like you got the starter kit going on.
I got the starter kit, you know, but I really want to move up.
I remember my first beard.
But you know, I think I have room to grow, you know. So
well, that's the whole point of a beard. There's always room for growing.
Mike, going back to what you said about the Miami starting quarterback, I have a surprise I want to tell everybody, and I haven't told anybody. I have an article coming out for the Zone Coverage up here in Minnesota, and I will be a contributor for Zone Coverage starting today. And I'm very excited. I will be joining the likes of Arif Hassan, Luke Inman, Andy Carlson, bunch of great guys up here in Minnesota. I'm going to do a little more.
Congratulations,
local,
man.
Local
That's
writing.
Awesome. Thanks. That's awesome. Thanks. Congratulations. I'm a little curious, though. Does Arif know that Carson Wentz is going to be writing and producing from them? Put some content on there? Because I don't know if he'll like that.
Yeah, that's how you'd have time for all the articles when you're throwing on those interceptions.
Well, I'm coming from a lower level type of school. Yeah, it kind of goes side by side there. But yeah, I'm very excited. My new article about Jay Cutler and how he affects the Dolphins will be out by the time this comes out. So awesome. I will be posting that.
Very cool, man. Very cool.
So you kind of got a leg up on us with this Jay Cutler stuff here.
Yeah. Well, the thing is I talked to the guys at camp, and that's my next thing. I have an Adam Thielen interview now.
Exclusive.
I had him by my lonesome. He was walking up to me, and I had my phone up to record, and I got bombarded by about three or four reporters. So I had to Dikembe Mutombo box him out to get this interview. And so the beginning is actually other reporters cutting in, and I asked two questions. One, you guys are going to probably laugh at because it was a joking question, but here it is.
When you signed with the Vikings, I guess you sort of came in here, you had reporters that you knew, you had fans that you knew, you kind of had this little, I guess, group that was, you know, in your corner. So, I mean, if you ever thought about the good fortune of being able to start your career in such familiar settings?
Yeah, for sure. I tell people that all the time. If I was with a different team, no one would have any idea who I was when I was a rookie. You know, whereas here I had people that had watched me in college, and you know, I had reporters that, you know, wanted the feel a good story and things like that. So it was obviously great to have that support. You know, I was able to have family come down very conveniently and watch practice. So you know, that support I was obviously felt, and definitely helped me get through camp and ultimately make the team.
I got a couple questions. You're a lunch pail guy. You're a hard worker. Who do you like to kind of look at to model your game after?
You know, honestly, like early when I was young, I always wanted to be like Chris Carter. I always wanted to be like Randy Moss. So I kind of really just took things from those guys, and then just as I got older, watching guys around the league, you know, I always wanted to be a wide receiver. That was always something that I really had a passion for, catching the football, running routes, and so I kind of have just taken things from guys around the league. And those two guys were the first guys that I really really wanted to emulate my game after, the way that Chris Carter ran routes and the way he caught the ball, especially those sideline catches and things like that. And then obviously just making plays like Randy Moss.
And, okay. And one last question. Where's a good place to get a burger here in Mankato?
Good place to get a burger? Wiggy's is pretty solid.
And that's pretty much the end of it. Yes, I asked him where to get a good burger at in Mankato.
Dude, that's like a good question, because I mean, you're just getting player speak for every other question, and it's all generic stuff. So I'm sure he actually enjoyed that. My favorite part of that was your phrasing of the question. You know, you're a lunch pail guy, inferring you're blue collar. And so who did you model your game after? Randy Moss. You're like,
yeah,
no, Randy Moss is the opposite of blue collar. Randy Moss is the athlete who was born into a trust fund of unbelievable athleticism.
Well, the thing is when he said Chris Carter, that was my guess, because he has that sideline awareness. If you watch him last year, he's really good at just knowing where his feet are and catching sideline passes, and it looks like Chris Carter. And that's who I thought he was going to say. I mean, he's from Minnesota. And that was my guess. I did have an interview with Treadwell, and I just asked him what's the difference between year one and year two, and he said injury, and we kind of left it at that. So,
and we left it at that.
Yeah, it wasn't my greatest interview.
Oh man, you should have hit him with just the absolute hard hitting. Be like, listen, Laquan, you were the de facto 102 in dynasty rookie drafts a year ago. All your owners are very disappointed, and we all want to know what the heck happened and what are you going to do to fix it. That's how you got to phrase the question. And then he would shove you down to the ground.
Like Exum. Like Exum he did in camp when he got in a fight. No, I got a couple other stories from camp I want to share with you guys.
Real quick, I just got to ask you real quick about Thielen. Did he understand that you were actually asking him out to get a burger? Because that's what I was kind of thinking was the next follow-up question was like, hey, where do you want to go get a burger? That's kind of where I thought you were going with it.
I'm pretty sure they had a pads practice within like 2.5 hours. So I'm pretty sure he would have said no either way.
I gotcha. You slow playing it, playing hard to get.
Yeah. No, a couple other things I got from camp are I got there. I was one of the only media at first. And
some did you have full-on media credentials?
Yes, I did.
So what? Professional.
How did you get that?
He's even got business cards.
Dude, hold that badge up, man. Oh, dude. Oh,
yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It's because he looks like Carson Wentz. People give him, like, hand him. Yeah, Carson's on coming on in. Let's
I
go.
I put on the jersey, and they're like, hey, Carson, shouldn't you be at Philly? Not today. Go.
No, I have questions for Adam Thielen.
No, I was there, and Charch and Paul Allen, I'm pretty sure everybody listens to this knows Charch, but they were above me, and I'm just sitting there listening to him on KFan, and some guy comes up and talks to me about the weather for about 5-10 minutes, and I'm like, this guy looks dressed like a coach. So I'm flipping through this pamphlet I got, and no crap, I'm talking to the tight ends coach for like 5-10 minutes, not even noticing. No idea who this guy is.
Yeah, that's all right. I thought you were gonna drop like head coach name on me.
No.
Like, I'll stand next to Zimmer.
We're not that impressed, Tyler. Okay. But
Spielman, he was like a foot away from me, said hi to me after his interview, and I was starstruck. I met Alan Page, and that was a crazy moment, but I was talking to the tight ends coach and asked him about Bucky Hodges and his development.
Oh, there you go. So now, good. Now you're using your credentials. Because when you asked me, like, hey, Mike, are you willing to fill in? I'm like, yeah. I didn't realize this was going to turn into the Tyler basking in his own glory of Vikings training.
That's what it is every week, Mike. That's what
I got.
Give me
some
that Bucky
info.
Hodges news. Give it to me.
Okay. I asked him about Bucky Hodges and his development, and he did not look that confident when he answered me. He said, you know, he didn't answer me correctly by saying, does he look good? Has he made plays? He said he kind of cut corners and said he needs time to develop. He's raw. And I kind of cut
it. He's got a good personality.
I mean, that's what we expected, though. That's what we
expected. And that's what I said, you know, he's – and I mentioned, you know, you got him in the sixth round and his eyes lit up and he said, yeah, the fact that we got him there is amazing to us. And he goes, he's young. He's only 21. He's like, you know, we got Rudolph to help him develop. He said, you know, we need to smooth the edges, but he's a work in progress. So for anybody hoping about him, but they did use him as a big slot receiver. Sometimes
they ran him against the fours. He was very good.
He played with the twos.
With Michael Floyd and Treadwell, right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, that's my next point. Michael Floyd.
Can you confirm this?
Fantastic.
Oh, please, this guy, we can't do this again.
I know.
Also, what is the inference there on Laquan Treadwell? Because I saw the blurb that Michael Floyd is running as the three. And I assume you're talking about Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Michael Floyd, meaning last year's first-round pick, Laquan Treadwell, still can't get on the field.
I've seen both blurbs, though.
The fight with him and Exum in practice really upset Zimmer. Zimmer was not happy with Treadwell.
Okay.
And the fact that Floyd is catching anything and everything in camp
means he's not
a good sign. Too soon, man.
It's classic Michael Floyd, man. He's
great when he's not drunk.
Yeah, I'd say I'm for Michael Floyd. I hope that he has turned his life around, because we had a lot of high hopes for him in Arizona, and yeah. you saw the potential. Whatever it was 2 years ago when he came back from the hand injury in the second half of the year, he was just absolutely dominant. So, I hope he's turned it around, because the talent is there. But I am not
for sure.
I'm not holding my breath that this is going to translate.
And he's suspended for 4 games. So Treadwell has his chance to take advantage of that. And if Treadwell doesn't, Floyd's going to step right in, and it's going to push probably Diggs and Thielen into more of a slot role. And Floyd will be the two outside.
Is there anything left? Sorry, Joe, but is there anything left with the, cause Michael Floyd had that, his excuse about the tea or whatever that he went to about why he failed the test. But Zimmer came out flat out said, if he's lying, we're going to cut him. Is there anything left to that?
I don't think so. I think it's all done. Yeah, it's done.
All right.
I mean, Zimmer is glowing about Floyd other than the whole incident, but the fact that Zimmer is comfortable enough with putting him with the starters as a third receiver tells me a lot more than usual. And from talking with other people, because I was only there for a day, Delvin Cook looks like the real deal. From personal looks, Latavius Murray is he's a monster of a man, by the way.
Latavius?
He's huge.
Yeah, he's huge.
When he looks at you, he's a little cross-eyed, but yeah, he's huge.
All I know is, no wonder why the guy literally fell into the end zone 12 times. Like, this guy is a tall man. And if you can trip into the end zone, I get it. I get it now. But I get why he's so horrible to watch, because he just looks like he can't move. He's just a monster.
He's such a straight line athlete. He's really fast for his size, but he is not
fast anymore.
When he gets
who came out
anymore? Well, I guess you had the inside scoop. I'm sorry, I've never seen him like on the field.
Well, he's really slow right now with his level. Injury.
Yeah, I mean, he's also injured, Tyler. Jeez, he's like watching him hobble.
He's so slow. He's get moving
along with his crutches.
Yeah.
Tyler,
He didn't have crutches. He's walking.
He got a walking boot, and he's
in a walking boot. He's like, why are you so slow?
Another, he's a monster, but he can't move.
I got a Teddy update.
Did he get his braces off?
He was actually doing out of the pocket drills and really firing them in there with no brace. He just had kind of a leg sleeve, which is a good sign. I mean, everybody's rooting for Teddy. But sure,
okay, I got a question for you. You're a Vikings fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you want to happen?
I think Bradford. I was watching Bradford. He looks like he added muscle. He is actually bigger than I expected. I expected a slender man, tall, slender. But no, he looks like he added some muscle. He looks confident. And during the night practice last night, he was tearing up the defense for the Vikings, which isn't an easy thing to do. I mean, the Vikings defense is stout. Hunter.
It's easy right now.
Yeah, I met Danielle Hunter, and that guy made me cry on the spot just by making eye contact with him. I mean, he's a huge monster. Yeah, it's great power into my retinas.
I love Sam Bradford as a late round quarterback.
Yes, me too, man.
I honestly think he's in for a big year. I mean, if everybody's projecting Diggs as up and coming wide receiver 2, wide receiver 1. You've got to bump Bradford up a little bit, because I don't see Thielen dropping much.
I mean, we talked about it on a show like a couple weeks ago. You know, we got Thielen, Rudolph, the red zone.
Yeah.
You know, Diggs, I mean, Cook, I mean, definitely looking up, especially with Shermer as the offensive coordinator.
That reminds me a little bit of the new Miami Dolphins quarterback, but a couple of years ago when it was Jay Cutler, and he's on the Chicago Bears, and everyone has Brandon Marshall as a wide receiver one. They have Alshon Jeffrey as a fringe one, high end two. And then everyone's projecting Jay Cutler, their quarterback. They're like, like quarterback 19.
Like, funny how we do that.
I'm not good at math.
How are you going to get the production from two wide receivers?
And they had Forte.
But so that's just, that reminds me of that. But for Bradford, everything to me comes down to touchdowns. Can he get that touchdown number up to the high 20s, low 30s? Because if not, then it's going to be pretty mediocre again.
Yeah, and the only other really camp news is from a dynasty perspective. We got Rodney Adams and Stacy Coley, the two young receivers, one from Central Florida, I think, and the other one from Miami. Coley's from Miami. It looks like Rodney Adams is falling on his face during camp, just not looking good, not catching much. And he could have been a kick returner, but apparently he's fumbled a couple of those. So I feel bad for him. And I've talked to a couple of people about him, and they all said, you know, this guy shouldn't even been drafted, really. But on a positive note, Stacy Coley looks smooth, looks like a guy who's going to take punt kick returns and actually could get some playing time in the slot if there's an injury. So that's some good news right there. And maybe worth a deep stash in some deep leagues.
How deep? We're talking like a 40-man roster here?
We're talking like 60, 70, 80.
We're talking practice squad. There's a practice squad for us.
You got a taxi squad for your taxi squad.
Yes. It's like a single-A baseball team.
Well, keep that in mind, Tyler. Thank you for the breaking news.
Yeah.
Great use of your media credentials there.
I was too starstruck. I'm sorry. I literally walked out. And no joke, I text my wife and I'm like, my kidneys hurt. I was so nervous during the whole thing.
Kidneys hurt?
Because just the nerves and stress.
I get it, man. I get it. You're out there doing work, though. I mean, I'm jealous. I haven't done that for the Cardinals.
Yeah,
it was
crazy.
It's impressive. I'm a little jealous too. It's okay. I can admit it.
Yeah, hopefully with the zone coverage stuff, I will be able to do this more for them and for our Dynasty Happy Hours. So
yeah, good luck on your date with Thielen, by the way.
Hope he calls.
He's gonna wait 3 days. Adam Thielen's classy.
Make sure you pay.
He seems like a classy guy.
He's gonna bring his lunch pail.
All right, let's get into some camp news after that joke.
More Vikings camp news.
No, we actually got some we'll go to, you know, the big news that happened today. But I want to talk about a little IDP. The 49ers first round linebacker Reuben Foster is expected to be a week one starter now that Smith, their other linebacker, got hurt for the year. And for IDP, any of you guys play IDP?
Nope.
All right, I will talk about this then. This is huge. Reuben Foster and IDP, depending on scoring, was a second if the scoring was high for tackles, or a third round pick. And you didn't really expect him to be used year one. This is huge. I mean, he's making plays in camp. He could hit 80 to 100 tackles. So this is good news for IDP players. All right. Cool. We'll go to the Dolphins news. Hey,
those
Mike,
three listeners they're really happy with that news.
This isn't as bad as a train wreck as last time we were on.
There's no train wreck. You're just giving IDP information. I mean, that's good.
What happened last time? I want to know. Like,
Mike and I were on because everybody left me alone podcast.
That was your best show, train wreck.
Anytime Mike is on, I'm sure it was fire. But what did you do is what I'm asking. What happened? What did you do to the show?
Nothing.
I know he probably did nothing. Mike probably
put him in a dunce cap. I said, sit in the corner and the grown-ups will handle your show.
I was sucking my thumb. All right. The Dolphins signed Jay Cutler to a 1-year $10 million deal.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Smoking Jay's back, baby.
I'm going to go to Mike first. What are the implications for this from the positional players aspect?
I honestly don't think there's necessarily a huge change. I mean, this is this is going to be Jay Ajayi's team. They're going to want to be a run first team. And if anything, I mean, because people are asking, you're like, oh, we need the instant reaction. Who gets the bump? And I said, well, I mean, my gut tells me that Kenny Stills will, because Ryan Tannehill's not as willing to take the shots to go deep. I mean, you saw what happened when Matt Moore took over for the Dolphins. It was Kenny Stills gets a touchdown every single game. So I think he gets a bump, but like Jarvis, I got him. I'm sure he'll end up relatively similar to where he already is, maybe down, maybe up. I don't think it shakes things up that tremendously, which is an interesting thing to say about wide receivers when they have a brand new quarterback. But it's Jay Cutler's best time as a pro was with Adam Gase in Chicago. So it's fine. There has to be a reason. Yeah, I mean, we always want to follow the most talented players, but when teams make a move, you have to read into what they're doing. And this team said, okay, our starter is down again with a partially torn ACL, so he's going to be out. He's expected to get reconstructive surgery. They could have gone Matt Moore, but they said, no, we're going to go get Jay Cutler, convince him to unretire, because that's who they have the faith in. So clearly the team has faith in him. So I will believe in Adam Gase, who has done great things for fantasy football and his players. And so I think that things they stay relatively status quo.
Joe?
Well, I too want to thank Adam Gase for all of his contributions to fantasy football. Thank you, Adam Gase. Mike is correct on that. I'm going to take a slightly different take on this, just sure, because Jay Cutler, I picture him already lighting up a cigarette, walking onto the field, and just
accurate. So far, so good.
Adam Gase is just getting that sweat, that nervous sweat, and he's like, "Oh God, I can't control him." He's in Miami now, you know, he's living it up out there. No, but I think he's gonna call a couple of audibles from his play calling. I think he's gonna start chucking it deep to Stills and Devontae. He's got a 6'3", receiver, and he's gonna let him loose. And you know, Devontae Parker is actually kind of the same personality type as Jay Cutler, which is kind of funny because Jay Cutler's got that gunslinger mentality, relies on his arm talent. He's kind of always been that way, like kind of like a Brett Favre kind of a guy. And Devontae Parker, when he came into the league, he pretty much told everybody, I just rely upon my God-given athleticism and talent. Like, he just was never like
pterodactyl arms.
It was never like a savant or like a really good route runner, never put in a ton of work. He was eating Snickers bars and Big Macs and just wasn't taking care of his body very well. And he's finally starting
to mature. Hold on, is that bad to do?
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, professional athlete, maybe not. As a podcaster, it's okay for us. You know, we can do that.
That's peak. We're at peak performance when I got three Big Macs in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think eventually it catches up to us. But, you know, for Devontae, you know, for Parker, it was working in Louisville. But, you know, when he got to the pros, it kind of caught up to him. So Cutler's kind of the same way. You know, he's got a little bit of a gut, you know, not
he's got diabetes.
Not a lot. He's got like, you know, a little double chin. He's smoking a cigarette while it was Uncle Rico throwing it over the mountains and stuff like that. You know, I think it's going to be good for Kenny Stills and Devonta Parker. It's going to be a little bit of a bump because he's definitely got the arm.
Now, in my article coming up, I actually stated that this is huge for Parker because if you look at Cutler's past and trends, he likes big receivers. I mean, Brandon Marshall, when healthy, never got below 140 targets. Alshon Jeffrey, when healthy, never got below 140 targets. And he hardly threw to the slot. He usually threw the tight end more than the slot receiver. So I think this really hurts Jarvis.
Ooh, you giving that Julius Thomas?
Well, yeah, I think so. Both years with Gase, Julius Thomas had 12 touchdowns. So that's a big number. I don't know if he'll have the receptions we would like, but I do think he's going to be a red zone target. With Kenny Stills, I'm neutral. If it was Matt Moore, Kenny Stills would be above Parker because, like you said, Mike, you saw Kenny Stills get those four touchdowns in 4 weeks. I mean, that's huge. But I think Parker, with his targets, he didn't reach 100 targets. I think he will get 120 to 140 targets with Cutler. And I think a couple of them be big plays. I kind of like with Moncrief, I don't want to hop back on this Parker thing. I gave him up. I don't know if I want to go back, but all signs literally point to Parker being the guy. So that's the route I'm going to go with. But I do think Ajayi, this helps a ton because Forte never got below 55 catches with Cutler as a quarterback. So I think if Ajayi is the full-time three-down back, I think Ajayi is going to be in for a top five running back year, which is huge. And I think with Cutler's big arm, the defenses will fear him more, and which will pull the safeties back, which, let's be honest, Tannehill never scared any defenses. I mean, they knew what he was going to do. He's going to dump it off to Landry or chuck it about 10 yards away from his receiver downfield. So I think this will help Ajayi. He'll be more consistent. He won't have those three 200-plus yard humongous games. I think they'll be more split out. So, yeah, I think this helps out the Dolphins as a whole.
Well, it's interesting, Pano, you're bringing up about Parker has just come out and said he relies on his athleticism. And sorry to shill the draft kit again, but with Matt Harmon's reception perception, Devontae Parker has always been very down in Matt Harmon's opinion because he's a lazy receiver. And one of Harmon's criticism early on was he basically had one release move. If you played press against Parker, you were getting one move. And if you shut down that move, you shut down Devontae Parker. So, I'm with you, Tyler. It's the draft pedigree is there. The college production is there. But if the player has not committed himself to actually learning the craft, because if you are an elite athlete in college, you're good. That's just how it is. But then you grow up and you go to the NFL and you go, oh, crap, everybody here is an elite athlete. And you can't out-athletic someone. I mean, it's very rare to get those Randy Moss guys who can do that. So if Parker – and I know there's a lot of Parker truthers out there, but I just – it's – I'm – the Parker love is I'm guessing about to – spread like wildfire, and so I'm gonna draw my little like my sand trench to try and protect me from that wildfire because I know that it's coming and I don't want the Parker truthers to engulf me, but I'm going to be cautious on Parker while I expect his ADP to just skyrocket as we approach draft season.
Do you remember when he was they had to literally like make him watch tape of himself in college.
That was Kevin White.
That was Kevin White. No, that was rookie. Yeah. It was Kevin White. But before it was Devontae Parker too. And like his rookie year or something like that. It was Parker first. That's why it's kind of funny that Kevin White's doing that now.
It was probably like Michelle Obama healthy eating video instead of his college tape.
They were showing. Oh my god! All right, well, you totally.
These are vegetables.
They're showing him the Play 60 commercials.
What is this? But speaking of Matt Harmon, who is all over Twitter about this guy about the drumbeat, Nelson Agholor is going to play in the slot, and he will be shocked if he doesn't. Jeremiah says
that was Jeremiah who said that, and that is. That is hot. I mean, that is a scorching hot take. And
mucho en fuego.
Look, Daniel Jeremiah I trust him. I think he's a very plugged in, very smart guy. I don't think he's going to let loose the flamethrower if he didn't have a reason to do this. But, I mean, for me, it's the question about Jordan Matthews, because that's Jordan Matthews' position. Jordan Matthews is a good receiver. I don't understand why people have absolutely buried a guy who underperformed for one year. Who anybody have 8 touchdowns his rookie year and his sophomore year? I mean, I don't think that he is fantastic by any stretch, but I think that he's good. Meanwhile, we've seen Nelson Agholor fall on his face, and Jordan Matthews has been either dealing with knee tendonitis or I want a new contract itis. I don't know which one it is, but. So he just hasn't really been able to be out there. So I don't know if this is just a matter of inconsequential evidence that Agholor just happens to be out there and Matthews isn't. So I'm hesitant on this piece of news as well.
Real quick, Tyler, this just real fast, just to back myself up here. In 2015, reading an article, Dolphins Devontae Parker watching college film to remind himself he's still good. Okay, so I'm just
kidding.
Anyways, but yeah, I mean, Nelson Agholor graded out as the worst receiver in the NFL 2 years in a row by Pro Football Focus. So I'm just throwing that out there. It's not like this random thing. Like, he's talented. For sure, but to say that he's a lock to take over for Jordan Matthews is kind of a stretch at this point. He's definitely talented, for sure, but I mean, he's got to prove it other than some practice. So we're going to be watching him in the offseason or in the preseason, see how he does. But Jordan Matthews is still a good player. It's just, I think people get like thrown off that he's limited to mostly like a big slot receiver, but that's fine. I mean, he excels in that role. But I don't know,
800 plus yards in every single one of his seasons. He just, the touchdowns went from 8 to 3 last year, including I mean, he was dealing with injuries. He missed 2 full games. So just is I don't get the completely abandoning of Jordan Matthews as a fine wide receiver 3 for your team.
Yeah, and
right, I'm with you there.
Now there's a couple things. Nelson Agholor changed his number to 13. Maybe maybe he changed. I mean, there was a video of him torching a DB, which was actually a very, very good double move. But I don't know.
What string was the DB? That's the hardest part about all these training camp videos is you see someone make a huge move and you're like, holy crap. You're like, that defender looked like an idiot. He looked like a third string defender. You're like, oh, because he was actually a fourth string defender. Like,
can I tell you, I think it was a single number guy.
It was guy the punter.
The numero uno.
It was the punter.
Like 6. Yeah, it was a punter.
Maybe Agholor was watching tape of himself in college too to just make himself feel better. I don't know. Maybe this is the thing.
You're that guy. You're gonna be the guy that goes to a struggling 30 receiver and be like, here you go. Just watch this. It's you. It's of you. Just want to build your confidence up, buddy.
Remember when you were good?
Like, tap them, like kind of soft kick them when they're down, but then try to bring them up and then trip them again, then kick them.
Hey, I mean, it's possible that these guys are trying to hype them up. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah does have ties to the organization. He even interviewed for a position with Howie Roseman at one point this offseason, I believe. So, I mean, he used to be a college scout or a NFL scout for the Eagles, mm-hmm. too. So, I mean, he gave him a strong grade. I remember reading articles earlier that, you know, he gave him one of the biggest risers in the draft process before he was graded. So, he does have a little bias there. I'm not saying that he's necessarily fibbing or anything like that, but he definitely has reason to hope he's going to be to perform up to his draft evaluation that he gave.
Is Nelson suffer from that USC receiver syndrome?
Right. There's a good name. I mean, that's a good narrative right there.
If Juju doesn't pan out, it's locked. Like, that is locked and loaded because Juju is probably one of the more talented ones. So if he doesn't make it, I feel like it's a done deal. That's it.
All right. Check back with me in a year, Tyler, and prepare your USC wide receivers. We can't hack it speech.
Rematch or a redo of this pod in a year from now.
We should just redo this pod altogether. Because I want to talk more about myself and how
you
I got
want to talk more Vikings training camp.
I like having Mike on here because we can stop you from talking about yourself a little bit and kind of bust your balls a little bit,
man. But that's also okay. One more thing with Agholor, it's his third year, and you know we always forget that it takes receivers a little bit of time to grow.
Not I mean, anymore. Agholor,
apparently thanks a lot 2014 class. God,
ain't nobody got time for that.
I mean, it's a different NFL now, where that big jump, that the normal third year rule that we're all used to following. If you're not seeing that in the second, then I think you can pretty much quantifiably say that it's very unlikely that you're about to see another jump from a wide receiver.
Yeah, everybody
Treadwell took that too seriously. Like, I got 3 years, guys.
Everybody just wants it now. What, Mike? What?
It's my money, and I want it now.
Don't start singing the song, please. Yeah. All right. Not hold on to our next news.
Whatever he wants.
The Lions gave first team goal line reps to Zach Zenner, ZZ Top, over Amir Abdullah in practice. Now, I feel like we all saw this coming. If people were blindsided by this, you really don't know who Amir Abdullah is. So, Mike, you're a huge Abdullah truther. What do you say about this news?
I feel like every piece of news I'm just shutting down, and I'm not trying to be that guy. But I mean, it's Amir Abdullah he's smaller, but he reminds me of LeSean McCoy, where you don't necessarily think of LeSean McCoy as a goal line back, and his teams frequently do the same, but he still ends up with these years of 10 plus touchdowns. And so while Zach Zenner may be the de facto short yardage back who, if they get to the one, they're probably going to bring him in, you're still okay, I think, with Abdullah, because if you're at the three or back three or further out, well, why would you still not have Amir Abdullah in there and have a team on their heels of, are you going to run it? Are you going to pass it? Are you going to throw it to the running back? Well, if they build that up reputation of Zach Zenner, then it's just like teams know that they're going to run the ball because Zach Zenner is not as versatile nor as unbelievably amazing as Amir Abdullah. So he's going to take some away, but that's the same thing that we've learned to live with LeSean McCoy, is when you have Shady, you know you're going to be screaming and cursing at a television when they put in the second string or third string guy to be the goal line back. It's just
which it is comes now Mike Tolbert.
Right. Yeah, and that you're always going to have someone you're pissed off at when you're the LeSean McCoy owner.
Now, you just mentioned Mike Tolbert. When you guys see him run, do you imagine the kid on hook bring his legs up when he rolls down?
Ball? Yeah. Yeah, he's a bowling ball. I mean, he's a round-shaped man who just told, man.
Vintage, and he can dance, man. Tolbert, I love to see him dance. Do his end zone dance, man. He can dance.
He was fantastic back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. I just wish one time he would get the ball and just
and roll
his legs up and start rolling into the line. I would die a happy man right there.
He would not get very far, Tyler.
You never know.
His legs would go up and he would be.
And he would could be, dream, Mike.
He'd be come permanently on. Injured when everyone smashes him.
Oh,
I will say, going back to your Abdullah take, I think it's less about Abdullah. I think, like you said, it's not a knock on him. I don't think it's a shock at all. I mean, he's definitely got the best talent on the roster. But I mean, Zach Zenner is a good goal line back. I mean,
yeah.
Man, that's my boy. That's the preseason goat for preseason DFS. Man, Zach Zenner will tear up the preseason. But Zach Zenner is definitely an underrated football player, by the way. But I don't think it has any implication or negative impact on Abdullah. I don't think anybody really expected him to get all the goal line work. I mean, he'll definitely score some touchdowns for sure, but he's not known to be this, like, you know, bruising back.
Yeah, and Mike, you nailed it on the head. My best comp for Abdullah coming out, watching his tape and watching him in the preseason, was McCoy. I don't think I've seen a player move like Abdullah can since McCoy coming out of Pitt. And if he can just stay healthy,
okay, here's what else we're going to dismiss with the Amir Abdullah nonsense. How many games did Amir Abdullah miss in college?
None.
How many games did he miss? How many games did he miss his rookie season?
None.
Yeah, he's not injury prone.
He was last year, man.
That's not prone. That's you got a season-ending injury. I mean,
I know. I'm so backtracking, Mike.
I just want people to hear the facts of when you say, "Well, he's injury prone." It's because he's smaller and he had one season-ending injury. So now all of a sudden he's injury prone. Just stop it with that narrative. Draft Amir Abdullah. Bathe in your fantasy points. But also be prepared to be really pissed off when Zach Zenner steals a touchdown here and there. It's all part of the ride on the Abdullah Express, but it's a first class ride.
You know what? I like this. I mean, it sounds like you've kind of prepared yourself. You've framed it to where when you draft Abdullah, you know what you're getting into. So yeah, I think I'm prepared now. I'm ready.
Yep. And let's not forget about Matt Asiata. So,
Matt Asiata is not on the 53 when that team gets rolling.
Just for your deep 80 man rosters.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna kind of do some quick fire now, and sure. We will go. DeAndre Washington has been getting all the second team running back reps over Jalen Richard in Raiders camp. The big question is, we all kind of believe Marshawn. We kind of fear that he could get injured because he's a little older, and he's had tons of carries. He's coming back off retirement. Both you guys, give me the quick. Who will actually end up being behind Marshawn, Joe?
DeAndre Washington is my bet. I mean, I think if Marshawn Lynch were to have an injury, then I think both would be, you know, obviously involved. But I think DeAndre Washington is the back to own for sure.
All right,
and I'll say an unbelievably frustrating timeshare there. And I'm trying to think of the seventh round pick. Is it Elijah Hood?
Yeah,
I mean, he's huge. He's Marshawn Lynch size. So it wouldn't be a shocker if Washington and Richard are handling the 20s work, and then they trot out Elijah Hood there when they get onto the goal line. So
trot.
Well, if I am so apt to pick up one of these backups, I would take DeAndre Washington.
And yeah, actually, I'm going to go off script and say I've liked what I've heard about Elijah Hood, and he would actually be my choice of being the first and second down back. So
right off the bat.
Yeah, the fact is Elijah Hood had a tremendous 2015 season. He was hurt 2016 in North Carolina. He was a four-star recruit, so he's got talent. And
four-star recruit out of high school?
Yes.
All these guys are four-star recruits, Tyler.
No.
Okay, DeAndre Washington had, despite facing eight or more in the box.
The numbers he put up his junior year of high school, the man was unstoppable.
Receiver,
they were scouting him all the way in elementary school.
All right, we're just going to move on because
DeAndre Washington actually had, this is from Joe Holka's rushing expectation. He had, despite facing eight or more in the box at a rate which ranked in 71st percentile, Washington finished in the 84th and 86th percentile in yards before and after contact, respectively.
Yeah, because Washington is good, man.
He is good, but that offensive line is beast. So I think Mike could go behind that O-line and probably put up 4 yards a carry.
Well, I mean, Latavius Murray was
close. I think Mike could legit put up four yards per carry. He's been eating, you know, like you said, the Snickers and Big Mac.
I appreciate the faith, but I'm sure I would put negative 3 yards per carry.
Is that
because
possible?
It would be one carry, and then I would be deceased.
All right, we're going to move on to this other news. Jaguars first round running back Leonard Fournette was listed as co-starter on the team's first unofficial depth chart in training camp. Let's all have a little laugh at that. You know, chuckle a little bit.
I am not going to chuckle.
Oh, what?
I shall not. Here's what I'll say. Didn't they do this nonsense last year where it was Ivory and Yeldon were listed as the co-starters?
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with people loving Leonard Fournette, but I just want to – I've been pretty vocal on the footballers as well as just I'm throwing out my word of caution that we have the blueprint for a very talented running back on an awful, awful team that has an awful, awful quarterback. His name is Todd Gurley. You get – a fine fantasy running back. You get running back 17 who gives you no ceiling. But here's the problem with Leonard Fournette is he is not proven as a pass catcher. Now, can he do it? Yeah, of course. I mean, basically any player in the NFL can catch a football. But TJ Yeldon was one of the best pass catching running backs last year as far as just volume goes. I mean, he was getting a really high amount of targets. His catch percentage is fine. So my worry about Fournette was that Yeldon was going to be the third down back and be the pass catching guy. And Jacksonville, for all their improvements, they're going to be in negative game scripts the majority of the time. So while I like Leonard Fournette and the co-starter thing is I admit it's laughable. You don't take a guy at the number four pick to make him a co-starting running back. I mean, that's nonsense. But if Yeldon is in on third downs and people are crying about it, don't at me because I've been trying to tell you that I've been trying to tell you since they drafted Fournette that this is a very strong possibility.
Yeah, I mean, Yeldon is a very talented. Try to deflate
your Fournette love party here.
To be honest with you, when I heard that Brandon Albert was retiring, I knew for a fact that was going to hurt Fournette a ton. I mean, as much as we say Brandon Albert might have been a little overrated, he didn't help out the Dolphins too much last year, but he kind of did. When he was in, that Dolphins O-line really helped Ajayi. If you don't remember, he had 3 200-yard games, and Albert was in every single one of those. When he was out and they had to move the line around, that's when Ajayi struggled. So Albert was a pretty good offensive lineman, and now they have to go with a rookie in Cam Robinson, who a lot of people said he should be a right tackle over left tackle because he didn't have the movement skills for left tackle. I mean, this does not look good for the Jags, and you got Bortles throwing picks to everybody, throwing footballs in the stands everywhere, anybody. I mean, Bortles doesn't give me confidence this year. That offense doesn't. Like how you brought up Gurley, a lot of defenses are just going to be like, well, they got Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, 10 in the box.
Yeah. I mean, you saw him getting rocked in camp by Sheldon Day. Sheldon Day is a heck of a player. And
oh, man. That was amazing.
But yeah.
Amazing video. That was a fumble. By the way,
I mean, yeah. Fournette is a big dude, and to see him just get like truck stick like that or hit stick was amazing.
Yeah,
that's why we have to. We fall in love with these rookies because we love dynasty fantasy football. You always have to remember these guys are playing against college kids, and I know that like Fournette, he's in the SEC, so he's playing against a lot of NFL guys, but not every one of the players that he's going up against on that defense is an NFL player. They are not NFL sized.
Yep.
All right. I got to defend my boy. I got to defend him real quick.
All right. Yeah, let's hear it. Okay. Let's hear it.
So I'm not the expert, so I'm going to yield the fantasy goodness to Mr. Mike Wright here, but I'm going to defend my Leonard Fournette takes because I am nervous about the offensive line and definitely am more nervous now that Albert is supposedly retiring, although I have to think there's got to be some sort of negotiation.
I agree with
there.
You on that.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you getting out of this? I think he's just really trying to get a deal. So I don't know if he's going to stay retired, but right now he is. So whatever. It makes me a little bit nervous. But okay, so watching film of Fournette, in 2015 he showed the ability to catch passes before. When his 2016, his quarterback could not throw screen passes, so I felt like that really negatively affected him and kind of gave him the label that he couldn't catch passes. But you know, regardless, they're talking about him in camp catching passes really well. I even asked a beat reporter. I didn't actually in person get to interview anybody, Tyler, but I did ask somebody via Twitter and through a Periscope, hey, how's Leonard Fournette looking in receiving and pass blocking? And he said he looked really, really good and is out there, has publicly stated that he's out there to prove draft Knicks wrong, you know, and kind of because he knows what people are saying about him coming out of LSU. And he's looked apparently really good. But, of course, that's just one person's opinion. But I believe he is a three-down running back, and I think they drafted him to be that guy. T.J. Yeldon definitely will spell him. T.J. Yeldon is probably a better pass catcher, so we'll see how that pans out. But the one thing that I really think is encouraging is I do believe their defense took strides last year, and I think that they made some major improvements. We've talked about this before on their defensive line and adding A.J. Bouye and adding a couple pieces on defense to an already kind of rising, talented defense. I think that will help their game script, even though that their offensive line may need a little bit more improvements for the future. So I kind of feel like they can hang in games and play that Tom Coughlin old grandpa style football and kind of
get off my lawn.
Yeah, exactly. this whole, you know, co-starter kind of label screams Grandpa Coughlin here. I think that really is just trying to kind of make him earn it. So I'm not worried. I think it really just, you know, digs your heels in what you already had a preconceived notion about Fournette. You know, if you really weren't really sure before, you might not like him as much. If you liked him, then you're kind of like not buying it. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how this pans out, but it doesn't scare me.
Yeah, and Fournette would actually be a great player to use on a sit or start app. And he's one of those players where you could either combine, you know, CJ Anderson this week or Leonard Fournette, and it will actually tell you the matchup, what's a better matchup on DFS or ESPN, PPR, standard. It gives you the results, and you can also put those out for a poll in the new update. It's got new sit or start polls. And they also have a new thing, which is where if you go to Sit or Start app and you type in DHH, let them know that we sent you, you can be in a drawing to get 2 free midseason tickets from Sit or Start app. You get to choose the game. Of course, it's going to be a local game. Mike, for you, it'd be Arizona. Joe, for you, it'd be...
What is that?
That means he knows more about me than you, Joe.
It would be Washington Redskins.
He really doesn't care about me.
It'd be the Reds. You know what, Rico?
You know what? Just keep going. Okay, keep going. I'm so glad to be here.
It's okay, Rico.
I'm glad to be here with Mike. Okay, that's why I signed up, is because I thought maybe one day I would get a chance to talk with Mike, you know, right on the show. So thanks.
I knew where he was from. I just had to give him a hard time. Media. That was for Doug.
Hey, I'm so glad you're working with the Vikings now, man. We're so happy for you.
I'm not working for the Vikings. I wish. Vikings, you can give me a call. I'm terrible at interviews, but it's a great opportunity to get free tickets. You can get a bunch of other prizes. Go on sitterstart.net/DHH and you can get yourself in the drawing. And Mike, I also want to, our last thing we're going to go through, because I don't want to talk about Moncrief and being injured again. The last thing we're going to go through is Martavis Bryant, which is a player you love to draft in your play drafts.
The alien.
Which
you're darn right I do. I stand by it.
He's a great, great best ball player. So that's another plug. I want you to go to playdraft.com/DHH and get, if you put in $10, you get a $10 best ball for free. You can draft with all of us. Joe, I'm pretty sure you're in it, aren't you?
I'm all over best ball.
Yes, best ball's great. But let's talk about Martavis. Martavis, news has popped up.
The latest news is back to good.
Yes, and that was the weirdest news. I had Tim Torch come on and made me panic because I have one share of him, and he made me panic saying he got pulled off the bus when he had pads on.
Oh, like, but wait. It wasn't that. It wasn't just that. This was Jeremy Fowler was reporting, and he tweets out. He says Martavis has his pads on. It looks like he's going to be practiced. Not sure if he's reinstated, but everything looks good. And yeah. I tweet this out with, I mean, unbelievable.
I remember seeing your tweet too.
Unbelievable bravado of. Yeah. I mean, I went full capital LFG. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's time. And then Fowler, 2 minutes later, is like, right, "Oh after. No, the GM took his pads and told him to go home or whatever." And I'm like.
I got the picture of like FBI agents rolling up on the bus and removing his pads and saying, "Excuse me, Mr. Alien, you have to come with us."
You know, cannot,
Mr. Alien, like it's his real name.
I got this picture in my mind of like him because I'm seeing his
the Men tweet. In Black.
I'm seeing Mike's tweet being all excited and celebrating. I'm picturing Scott Barrett in the background, like jumping up and down because he loves Barrett, you know, Bryant too. And all of a sudden, I just. Hand off, and I see him removing Bryant and his pads off the bus. I'm like, wow.
It was unbelievable how unprofessional that was by Jeremy Fowler to get my hopes up. So you can at him. Don't at me. But then the latest news was that the Steelers they're hopeful that he's going to be he'll be practicing this week, which would, if he's practicing, that means full reinstatement. That means that this charade that the NFL has been carrying on of keeping Martavis out I'm not going to get into that stuff. But
so, yeah, so who do you actually think is dragging their feet? Like one? Is it Bryant or the NFL?
Okay. No, it's the NFL for sure, because they're a bureaucracy and it moves very slowly. But they expect Martavis back this week. That means it's all systems go. It's full on wheels up on Martavis Bryant. The guy is unbelievably good, and all reports are like he's put on muscle. I have this. I mean, you have to filter through so much BS in training camp and off season, but things that I buy into: wide receiver puts on weight, running back loses weight. I like those. Both have positive correlation in my mind of how I think of players. Martavis put on weight. All reports are he looks shredded. You're like, and he was already just a monster of a man, like 4.3 wheels, catches touchdowns with his butt. I mean, he's incredible.
He really does.
Yeah, I'm not lying about that. This is factual information. But
why do I think of Jay Cutler when I see that? Maybe I've seen so many pictures on Twitter.
It's actually, like the best catch I've ever seen in my life was.
So I love him. I love him, and I know that it's unbelievable high risk because one thing goes wrong for Martavis, and he's done. Like he's probably out of the league. But yep. It doesn't matter because if you ain't first, you're last. So I'm not going to draft scared. I'm still going to take Martavis in that fourth, fifth round range because his upside is a wide receiver one. Like I'm not BSing about that. His upside is a one, and I think that the Steelers can have an offense to carry two wide receiver ones, and Big Ben can carry two wide receiver ones. So that's why I'm so aggressive and passionate about drafting Martavis.
Man, yep, and we've seen Martavis be a wide receiver one during weeks with Landry Jones. I mean,
right?
Didn't he take a 40-yard screen to the house?
Don't bring it up. It was against the Cardinals, and it was absolutely just garbage because Landry he's so Jones good, and worst. We sucked.
he is horrible. But
yeah, but Martavis is still fine because he's that good.
Yes. But seriously, though, Ben Roethlisberger, that's a huge boost for him.
Huge.
I mean, like we're talking about Martavis when deservedly
huge.
So. But man, Ben, he's got Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Martavis back, Juju. He's got, you know, Eli Rogers and, you know, man, he's
Sammy Coates.
They are loaded. Sammy Coates with his like,
I can't even hold a burger with these tiny hands.
It's not necessarily that they're just tiny. They're just broken. And they're like, you know, his fingers are all. Yeah, smashed.
I liked the reference. I mean, it was improperly timed, but it's still a funny reference.
That is a great. That is, right. Is that the Burger King commercial or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to wrap up now. You've probably heard enough of us. Well, Joe and I'm sure you could listen to Mike all night.
You can hear me five times a week if you want.
Yeah, yeah. You can. And where can we listen to you? I'm not sure people know exactly.
That's thefantasyfootballers.com.
Well, yes. And remember, don't forget, ultimatedraftkit.com, code DHH for 10%. Get it. Drafts are coming.
They are.
Same with winter.
Get hyped. Yeah. Oh, whoa, no spoilers, bro. I still haven't watched.
I haven't either. I'm going to go watch it after I do this, so...
I think Mike said it best, man. Just real quick, you're not going for second place or you're going first place or last. So get the Fantasy Footballers kit and win first place.
Yes, and don't be a fool like me and actually hit waiver wire.
You could have just stopped right there and said, "Don't be a fool like me." You could have just stopped right there.
Don't be a fool like me and do anything I actually do as a human being, like going to purchase a Deshone Kizer jersey because he's going to be rookie of the year.
Flaming hot takes.
All right. Now let's not forget to check out dynastyhappyhour.com. We have new redraft rankings from Keaton Denley, who writes for the Footballers. He does great work over there.
He's a good man.
Yes, he is. Does great stuff. Dynasty Frank, Gabe Gearing, and Corey Cameron.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
We have updated dynasty rankings, tons of new team previews. I got to post the Steelers tonight. And I want to say the Redskins, your boys, Joe. Yeah. See, I know.
Can you give our fan the 5-star review, you know, a shout out to?
Yeah, just hold your horses, man.
Okay. I'm a little excited about that. You know, like we got Sorry.
We have all the podcasts and network that you can hit up. We have shirts and Fantasy Tilt shirts now that are available to purchase. We also have sweatshirts coming in. Now, we're actually going to do a strictly pre-order for these sweatshirts. They are going to be a charcoal gray with the Dynasty Happy Hour logo.
Ooh, yeah, that's very professional.
They are going to be...
very sensual.
Proceeds are going to go towards Seth Rogen's Alzheimer's research. Like I said, it's strictly pre-order. We're kind of, as you can tell, we're trying to get all the info lined up. This is kind of on the fly, kind of new news. You only have probably a month to order these things, and they are going to be great. Like I said, winter's coming up here in Minnesota. You're going to need three for a day.
Winter is already there.
Yeah, it's crazy up here. After you check out the shirts, you can check us out on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. You can find me at DHH_Tyler. You can find Doug at DaFantasyFather. And Joe, we can find you at Pano, just Pano.
I mean, that is, oh, that's unbelievable.
Streamlined. At
Pano. I mean,
streamlined.
If I could be at Wright, just where do you find me at Wright?
You should be. That, I mean, that's, you're the one and only.
It's not wrong.
We've already been over this.
They can't handle more of me. I mean, there's only one. That's it.
Joe actually changed his last name. He found the only last name that no one in the history of man has ever had. It's Payne.
Oh, that's good because I feel like he probably actually did.
You know,
it sounds like a Joe.
It wouldn't be a good show without you making fun of my name, you know, making fun of my last name. I mean, that's one thing I can count on. So
actually, it sounds like a Rico move.
I embrace it.
Sounds like a Rico move to me.
I don't think Mike knows the Rico story yet. So let's just, you know, we can skip that.
Yeah, well, I know Rico Suave. I know Uncle Rico.
Yes. The Rico that he works with. That's who everybody was talking.
Rico.
There's a Rico that supposedly is my doppelganger, which he isn't, by the way.
Mm.
But it's my nemesis.
Well, let's get to this iTunes review Joe really wants us to read. And it's actually pretty good. And if you leave a review, we will give you a shout out like we are at right now. This review is by Tyler H24. Not me. I swear.
Tyler.
That's why I think it's so funny because I'm pretty sure it's you.
You think I'd be that clever to change a name like that? I would put my full name, Tyler Gunther. It ain't me. It's not me. I swear.
You'd have like a Minnesotan accent in your Twitter, like, or in your review.
So Joel is pretty good at this podcast thing. He is just a fantastic, fantastic guy.
Tyler, talk about yourself. If you wrote the review, you'd be like, Joe's pretty good, but Tyler, have you guys seen this Tyler kid? He's unbelievable. He's the best.
I hear he's got credentials, media credentials.
You know, you guys talk about me like I got my head so far up.
You got exclusive interview with Adam Thielen. He's even going out to get a burger with him.
All right, I'm not going to read the review. No, I will. This is called No Payno, No Downloado. Clever. Ooh, I like these. I think
that's ominous.
I think we need to keep these coming.
He says, as long as they're Dynasty 5-star reviews. Remember how I went off on this last time? I was like, you know, it's all about the 5-star reviews. I don't care what you say about my last name if you give us a 5-star review. So thank you, Tyler. You know, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for sure. Not me.
Yeah, not you, Tyler.
He says, great Dynasty podcast with funny host. Thanks.
He meant me.
Thanks.
He meant me, honestly. Obviously.
I appreciate it.
How many shows has this listener heard?
Like, don't tell him about any more other Dynasty shows, please.
No, I was gonna say, did they think that I was like a normal host?
I get it. Like, he's talking about you.
That one fell a little flat. I apologize.
Oh my God.
Look, they can't all be winners, guys.
I mean, I was going to give you the courtesy laugh because you're Mike Wright, so I was like, going to do it, but I was like, you know what, I got to make it.
No, I don't want your courtesy.
This is ending the show. We can't end like that. Oh, man.
Sometimes when you tell a joke to yourself and then you transition the thought into words,
every day of my life.
It's just, it's not nearly as funny. And I mean, this is like 95% of my life. So,
and that's the thing is you have to take the risk though. You know, like you have to do
You're right. Because
yeah,
if you're not first,
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Thank you, Yogi.
That's right. That's right. And I will continue to do.
All right, everybody. That is it from us. Thank you, Mike, for coming on again.
Where's my jacket, bro?
I was just about to say, you're bedazzled. Ed Hardy jacket will be in the mail.
Dude, so, yeah, this is awesome. This is a check off my bucket list. Potting with Mike Wright.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And until next time, everybody, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we have for you today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. You can find Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Follow Doug at TheFantasyFather. And finally, Joe at Paino, P-A-E-N-O. Check out rankings, articles, and more at DynastyHappyHour.com. Or follow us on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour podcast network.